So, back to the basics. This is our third talk, and as you know, we talked about knowing God. One of the highlights there, God is your Father. He's not your taskmaster. He's not your principal. He's your Father. And we talked about walking with God. The basics are useful to you when they're used as tools to help you walk with Him, which is the main thing, to know Him. They can actually be harmful to you if they only become a burden to you. This afternoon now, this last talk, we're going to talk about serving God. Okay, well, we've been looking at John 17:3. We're going to add to that John 17:4. Again, this is Jesus praying in the garden after the Last Supper. And incidentally, in this Last Supper, if you kind of wanted to summarize what Jesus has said to them, this is what he said. He said, "I'm leaving. You can't come with me. I'm sending you a helper. One of you is going to deny me and one of you is going to betray me. I want you to love each other. Abide in me. Abide in my words." John 13, 14, 15, 16, four chapters all from one meal. And then he prays. We can't really tell. Is he praying at the table? Did they stand up and go outside to the garden to pray? Where are they in the house? We don't really know, but we do know that he prayed this at the beginning of the prayer. And he's talking to God, his Father. And he says, "Now this is eternal life, Father, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Then he says this, "I brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." Here's what's interesting to me about this, and we'll focus on this verse 4 here. Jesus identified that he had a work. He had a work to do. And he says here, he glorified the Father on earth by completing the work. So he says, "I had a work to do, and I completed it." Some translations say finished. Some say accomplished. Jesus had a work to do that he finished. Now, Jesus said it's finished another time. Do you remember when that was? On the cross. You know something that's interesting? It's the same word. Twice Jesus says, "I've done it." Once before he went to the cross, and once upon the cross, right before he breathed his last breath. Two works that Jesus said he had, really. And before he went to the cross, he said, "I finished it." And then on the cross, he says, "It's finished." Two things he finished. They come from the Greek word teleo, and I'm not saying it quite right. But it's the same root. So Jesus had two works to do, and here's what I think they were. In John 17, we get a hint of what Jesus is talking about. Because the whole prayer is about the people he invested in. That's who he's praying for. So there's a job he said he finished before he died for the sins of the world. And I want to submit to you that I think the work that he finished was investing in some disciples to carry the work forward. Invested in a few who would carry the work forward. And he said, "I finished this work." And then in John 19, just a little bit after that, when he says, "It is finished," that's when he finished the work of dying for the sins of the world, so that any person who puts their trust in him could have eternal life, could be with him. So if Jesus could say he finished the work, let's just think about this. You and I, we're not going to die for the sins of anybody. Jesus did that for us. So us as Christ followers, we want to be like Christ. So I think being like Christ, Christ followers, we're not going to follow him to a cross because he's done that for us. But you know, we can follow him in doing the work that he refers to in John 17. Investing in other people. And if we did have another chance to talk, we'd talk all through John 17. But what we're going to focus on is Jesus finished the work the Father gave him. And when I wonder, what is this work that he gave him, this work he gave him to do? Well, I think we see a picture of it in Matthew 9. And that's where we're going to go, where we see Jesus in action. And incidentally, I'm going to go back to this slide for a minute. Let's think about this. How freeing is it to be able to say that you have finished the work? How freeing is it that Jesus said this? When Jesus said he finished, you know what? There were still hungry people. And he said, I finished. There were still poor people. And he said, I've done my part. There were still people that needed to be healed. And Jesus said, I finished. Do you know, I want to give you a little bit of freedom right here. Because you're a Christ follower, I believe Jesus has given you work to do too. But Brian, your work is not Ron's work. He's given you two different works to do. Now they may be similar, they may even overlap. But he hasn't given you each other's work. And another thing that can burden us is trying to respond to every opportunity that comes our way. And an opportunity is not a call from God. And I'm interested, and especially some of my younger friends, and their hearts go out to this and to this and to this. You know, you can get pulled to and fro and to and fro. I remember once in our church, we had someone talking about the homeless, and he was a very effective communicator and had some visual aids. And honestly, there were people who were weeping in our church. And one of them said to me, don't you just know that we all have to go do this? And I was dry-eyed at the time. I said, well, no. I'm glad God's called someone to do it. But he's given me a work to do that's different from that work. Do you see what I'm talking about? If you haven't answered the question, and I know we talked about our discussion group, this is a good thing for you to be thinking about. Can you put into a sentence, what is the work God has given you to do? What's the work he's given you to do? And it has something to do with knowing him. It has something to do with ruling the earth. Josh, taking the rough patches off of the wood that you're sanding so the wood is smooth. He has work for you to do, and it's not the work that he's assigned to anyone else. If you're a dad, part of that work is raising your boys or your girls. If you're a husband, part of it's loving your wife. If you're a neighbor, chances are part of it is reaching out to the people around you who don't know Jesus. If you play football, it's being a good football player and honoring Christ on the field, not by being a slacker, but by doing the best that you can. And not falling into what other guys are doing, but leading them forward. Do you see what I'm saying? Let me encourage you to consider writing out a statement for yourself. The work God has assigned me is this. And it doesn't have to sound really spiritual, okay? You don't have to use big words. And then here's an idea. Show it to some of your friends. Say, what would you think? What do you think of this? Would you agree that this looks like a work he's given to me? And give them the freedom to say, no. He's probably not calling you to the people of Madagascar next year. Probably he's calling you to graduate, you know? Or no, you need to raise your babies, which is different from going to Madagascar. You know, let them speak into it. Probably I'm using a ridiculous example. I wonder what the work is he's given to you. Now, let's shed a little light on it, and we're going to go to Matthew 9, 35 to 38. So open your Bibles with me. And John, if you want to come up and take over at any time, you can. Are you ready? No? Okay, you'll stay. Matthew 9. I know, I'm talking to John. 35 to 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Let's just look at how Jesus rolled, at how Jesus was functioning here. What are the first two words? Jesus went. Isn't that interesting? Jesus took initiative. Jesus moved. See if I have that up here. He engaged with others. He took initiative. You know, I have to say one of the most tiring things for Nancy and me is that we're always the ones that seems taking the initiative. And that's just the way that it is in the kingdom. We take the initiative. We're the ones who say, "Well, would you like to?" And put fill in the blank. Would you like to come over? Would you like to get a cup of coffee? You know, would you like to talk? Jesus took initiative. It's interesting that he didn't go climb on top of a mountain and make you go through, 13 levels that you had to jump through in order to get to him. No, he went to the people. So he went. He took initiative. And then it says he's going through all the towns and villages, and he's teaching. He's teaching in their synagogues. When you teach someone, what part of them are you appealing to? Well, probably the mind. You're teaching, you're moving, and it's the whole thing, but here I think actually the word is he was teaching them truth. And we engage with truth in our minds. He was engaging with them intellectually. He took initiative. He went to them. Incidentally, believers, we're wenters. That's what we do. We went. We go. We don't just stay. And Jesus, what he did in his work, he engaged with people's intellect. He didn't back off from the intellect. He taught them things. And then this is interesting. It says, teaching in every synagogue and preaching the good news of the kingdom. So he taught and he preached. Now to preach, I used to think that preach was another way to say teach. That like if you had teach in one sentence, twice, oh, I can only use the word teach once. So you get out of the thesaurus. So I need another word for teach. Oh, preach, I'll put that in. Kind of means the same. Not at all. Two completely different words. Jesus was teaching truth, and he was preaching. That's the word caruso. That's appealing to the will. That's when he said, go sell everything you own. Give it to the poor, then come follow me. That was a preach. That wasn't a teach. Jesus preached. He appealed to them, he called them to action, not just information. But he taught truth. He preached, and then, listen to this, he's teaching, he's preaching, and healing every disease and sickness. Now, that's kind of interesting. Did he really heal every disease and sickness? Well, everyone he came across that he wanted to. You know, because when he died, we know that there were still people that weren't healed. So it wasn't for a brief moment the earth was free of illness and sickness. But in his circle, in his world, the people that came to him, he healed. I love this picture of Jesus. Engaging with the mind. Engaging with the will. Engaging with the body. He was really engaged with them. And then it's interesting, it says this phrase right here. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. What part of you is active when you have compassion? Probably your heart, right? Yeah. Jesus was fully there. He was emotionally engaged. Isn't this a beautiful picture of Jesus? Engaged with the people, taking initiative, engaging with their minds, with their wills, with their physical needs, and with their emotions. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I pray, this is one of my prayer requests. I said, Lord, help me be fully there. Help me be all there. So for instance, right now, I want to be fully present with you. I do not want to think about cleaning out my garage. Although several of you have reminded me that must be done. And it's true. But when I'm with you, I want to be with you. Have you ever done that? You're talking to someone and they're talking and talking, but you're really thinking about this over there. You're having a separate conversation. You've never done that? Am I the only one? Oh, you have done it. Okay. We should have true confessions here. We've done this, but let's pray that we would be fully there, fully present, just like Jesus was. So here's Jesus in action, engaging with other people, moving towards them, engaging with their minds, their genuine intellectual questions and issues, with their wills, with their physical needs, and with their emotions. Now, it's interesting. In this, I keep saying that it's interesting, and to me it's because it is interesting. Let's read the rest of this passage here. He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So here's the introduction of a problem. Problem number one. Problem number one. There are harassed and helpless sheep. Sheep that need help. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Problem number two. A bountiful harvest with not enough people to bring it in. I know some of you probably are farmers or have farming background. Imagine how terrible it would be to have, 500 acres, you've got a, harvest, and, one broken tractor or whatever you need to, combine. Wow. What do you need? Well, it's interesting there. Jesus said, pray for workers. Two needs, two problems, shepherdless sheep, and a ripe, ripe harvest. One solution, workers. Jesus said, pray for workers. Pray for laborers. If you're in the King James, it's laborers. Most other translations, it's workers. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Now, this is interesting. I accomplished the work you gave me to do. And here he's talking about workers that are few in number. Shepherdless sheep, plentiful harvest, few workers. Pray for workers. Now, I love, love, love this word workers. It's the word ergates in the Greek. And it means common field hands. You know what Jesus is saying? Pray for some common, everyday, ordinary people who would become the solution to the problems. Isn't that beautiful? See, he could have said, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, so pray, pray for some rich people. Pray for rich people who could throw money at this. He could have said that. He didn't say that. He could have said, you know what we really need? We need some movie stars. Pray for movie stars. Oh, and probably some professional athletes. Pray for some of those people who can come be a solution. He didn't say that. What we need is smart people. Really, pray for the smartest people. Let's pray for the really good-looking people. Let's get all the good-looking people over here. And then they can work on this. No. Pray for some common, everyday, ordinary people. Do you know what I hear? Pray for some engineers. Pray for some physicians. Pray for some moms at home. Pray for some students. Pray for some carpenters. Some real estate brokers. Some teachers. Some inventors. Some other kinds of brokers, some insurance salespeople, some assistants. Pray for those people. Some common, everyday, ordinary people. Now, I don't know about all of you. I'm sure you're special. I look at you and I say, well, this is a special group of special people. And this is true. I do. I actually sense that God's hand is on you, on this room as a whole. But you know what? What you really are people who qualify. You qualify because you're common, everyday, ordinary people. Jesus shared a prayer request. Isn't that interesting to think about? You sit around and say, does anyone have a prayer request? Jesus says, I have one. Yes, Jesus. Pray for workers, please. Okay. We'll put that at the top. It would be an interesting little study for you to do some Sunday afternoon. Make a list of all of Jesus' prayer requests. Do you think the things that Jesus asked prayer for are important? I'd add them to the top of yours. Well, this is one. Pray for workers. Common, everyday, ordinary people. What does a worker do? Two problems, one solution. A worker picks fruit. Works on the harvest. Picks the fruit. Harvests the grain. A worker helps the young. Shepherds the sheep, right? The two problems. Who's going to shepherd these sheep? Who's going to pick this fruit? Workers do. The first time I heard this, Dave and Faye, you may have heard this same at some conference. I remember I was sitting in the back of a conference with a bunch of students, and I think it was Leroy I'm sharing this. And I remember thinking, oh, I think God could use me. I wasn't sure he would use me. I thought he would use cooler people than me or better people. I just didn't think I would ever measure up. I thought he could use me. And then I remember looking out over this room, I thought, oh, he could use everybody here. He could use everyone in this room. Wow. And I had just heard about the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all the nations. I thought, this is how it can happen. It's not going to happen if we just hire a few professionals and say, go do it. It's going to happen when everyone signs up to be workers for him, whatever you do, whatever your address is. So I have an appeal to you, actually, in terms of serving Christ. And my appeal to you is, would you become the solution? And would you not be part of the problem? Would you be someone who, whatever your job is, whatever work you do, would you be a common, everyday, ordinary person who's walking with God, knowing Christ, and being used by him in the lives of the people around you? I mentioned this to the folks at Wichita State last night. I said, you know, we have enough nice, happy Christians. We don't need any more nice, happy Christians. What we really need are people who, by the grace of God and full of the love of Christ and filled with the Spirit, using the Word, would give themselves to being workers, being used by God right where he has you. That's what I pray you would do in serving Christ. Now, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. Here's a word of caution. Who do you think, well, first of all, do you think these guys prayed this? Tucker, do you think they prayed? Jesus said, pray for workers. Do you think they did? They probably did. They should have. I think they did. And then who do you think became the answer to their prayer? They did. So here's a warning. Do not pray this if you're not willing to be the answer to your prayer. So if you pray for workers, it's kind of this, Lord, would you raise up workers, anyone but me? No. Lord, would you raise up workers, and would you help me to be one? Would you help me to be a common, everyday, ordinary person who walks with you, who knows you, and who's useful to you in the lives of other people? Wow. Isn't that an exciting vision? Well, how about you and your serving God? Now, I would imagine you're doing lots of wonderful things. In your churches, you may be teaching Sunday school, you may be singing, you may have a ministry among the poor somewhere, You may have a women's Bible study group or a men's group or meet with some couple, all kinds of things you could be doing. Here's my request to you. In the midst of all of it, would you be laboring? Would you be this kind of worker? Would you be someone who has your eyes open to see the fruit that's ready to be picked? And would you position yourself so you can get the skills that you need so you know how to pick that fruit? So that when you're going through your day, you say, wow, I see a field that's ready to be harvested. Would you please not be one of those who just freaks out? There's a field that needs to be harvested. We need to go hire someone to do it. No. Would you prepare yourself, learn what you need to learn, so you can say, wow, there's a field that needs to be harvested. I better get to it. I better get to it. And you realize, wow, look at these women in my neighborhood. They're ready. Wow. Would you jump in? Look at these men I've been working with, and I think God's at work in their lives. I think those two are there ready. Whoa. White harvest. Would you go do that? And you think, I don't know what I do. I tell you what, there are people in this room who can help you learn what you could do, and all you have to do is ask. Say, would you please help me learn how to be a worker? There'll be people in this room who will help you. And if you don't know of anyone in this room, you ask me, and I will put your hand in the hand of someone who will help you be a worker. And when you come across someone like me, who's desperate, like I was when I started college, desperate to find someone who could help me grow in Christ, would you position yourself, and it's not very complicated, so that you can put your arm around someone and say, hey, buddy, you want to go have a quiet time together? You want to read the Bible together? It's not that hard, actually. That's why common, everyday, ordinary people can do it, right? You know what? You don't need a degree from a seminary. I'm in favor of seminary degrees, but you don't need one to be a worker, right? God can use any of us in this way. And I pray that He will. And I believe He is. And I think He wants to do more through you. Whatever your profession is, whatever your address is, where you live, work, study, or play, I pray you'd be people, and we'd be people, I put Nancy and me in this, that we'd be people, all of us, who would be part of the solution to the two problems that were described in Matthew 9. A ripe harvest that needs to be brought in, and sheep that need to be shepherded. Yeah, this is what I just said. Be a worker in God's harvest in the world, right where you live, work, play, or study. Now, incidentally, especially if you're younger, that doesn't mean that He might not call you to go somewhere else. If He calls you to go somewhere else, you should. But if you think one day He might call you to go somewhere else, right? Do it now. If you want Him to use you in Indonesia later, do what He's called you to do now. If you want to labor in India later, labor now. If you want to labor after you have your degree or after you retire, labor now. Do it now. This is helpful to me. As a laborer, remember that you cannot give what you do not have. So you want to help someone come to know Christ. You want to help them grow in Christ. You want to help them walk deeply with Him. Well, that's pretty hard if you don't know Him, if you're not walking deeply with Him. You can't give intimacy with Christ to someone when you don't have it yourself. Similarly, you can only take others as far as you are. So, and I'm not trying to use a guilt trip here on you, but if you think, wow, I've kind of been staying at the same kind of little weak level for a long time, you know what? You don't have to do that. You can take it up. You can take it up a notch. And I'm not talking about let's get busy for Jesus. I'm talking about drawing closer to Him so you have more to give. I remember once I felt like everything I learned from the Word, I just passed on. I'd learn it, I'd pass it on. I'd learn it, I'd pass it on. I'd learn it, I'd share it. It was exhausting. And that led me once to pray. I said, Lord, do you ever have anything that's just for me? Do I have to pass on everything? Is there something you just want to speak to my heart about that's just for me? And I think he answered that. And you know what? I started praying. I said, Lord, would you talk to me so much through your word that there's no way I could pass it all on? That way I'll know that some of it is for me because you're talking to me. And you know what? I can tell you that he's done that for me. We could actually have three more messages and I wouldn't be done. We're not going to do that. You can serve Christ through being a worker for Christ. And you can do that right where you are. Right where you are. In the season of life you're in, the profession you're in, the station of life you're in, you can be used by him. You can serve him right where you are. So, back to the basics. Remember this verse? But I'm afraid, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, that you too, I'm quoting an NAS, might be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. And that's what we've been talking about today. And that's what I've been trying to present to you. So really, everything we've been talking about is pretty simple, right? It's pretty simple. You can develop a pure devotion to Christ, and he wants to help you do this. You can know God. He's your Father. You can walk with him. Use the basics wisely. Use them wisely to help you know him. And you can serve God in the place in life that you're at right now. You can be a worker for him. And I urge you to be a worker, to be a laborer for him in his harvest, right where you are. So here, we have a few minutes left, and I've done this on purpose. I know we've had discussion groups, but I'd like for us to take a good 5 minutes, and I'd like you, just where you're at now, just right here at the table, as you've listened to Jesus today, not me, and not necessarily each other, you know, we've had a good 2 hours of just talking to each other. And I'll bet for half of you, the highlight of today has been something that someone else shared with you. So I'm not saying think about what has Mike shared that God has used, but what have you heard today from him? And what I'd like to do is just ask you, ask this question. What's he been talking to you about? And do this for about 5 minutes. Just jot it down. And write it down, and then what I'd like to ask you to do is sometime today, share that one thing with at least one other person. So if we had nice music, I'd have it playing now, but what I really want you to do is take 5 minutes, turn around on, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, go, and then this is what you're doing. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Go. Okay. You know, I see here on my notes, I'm supposed to be done at 4:10. That means I have 10 minutes. So what I'd like to do, I want you to share now with one person at your table. You've got like 3 minutes to do this, so a minute and a half each to share what God talked to you about. Ready, set, go. Chop, chop. Just one person. Pick one person. If there's 5 of you at a table, then you can do 3s. So I see some of you praying. I'd like to ask you to pray with the person or a couple people you shared with, okay? And just pray for the other person. Ready, set, go. Father, thank you so much for these men and women here. And thanks for this day. Thanks for the things that you've spoken to each of us about. Thanks for your word and for your Holy Spirit who illuminates your word in our hearts and who whispers truth to us. Father, I do pray that you would continue to give each of us soft hearts and that we would hear the things that you want to talk to us about. And I pray that you'd help us be men and women who live uncluttered lives, that we would know you. And I pray you'd give us the grace to experience you as our Father, who's engaged with us, who loves the sound of our voice, who just wants to hear from us. Father, thank you that you want to hear from us. You want us to talk with you. Thank you that you are our Father and that we can call you Father. Lord, thank you that you understand and you know and you see and you reward and you forgive. And Father, thank you that we can really walk with you, that there are actual skills we can learn that can help us to not just float along, but to really engage with you and obey you and pursue you. Lord, help us to use those tools well, and help us to do what we need to do to draw more near to you. But Lord, thank you that mostly it depends on you, not us. Thanks for the grace in that, Father. And Lord, I pray that from this room you would raise up new workers for your harvest field, that there would be men and women who have heard your call today who would be raising their own hands and their own hearts saying, Lord, help me be a worker. Father, would you do that? Would you make it so that the solution to the problems of this world would be found in this room? And thank you that when you looked at a crowd of people, you saw a harvest that needed to be brought in, and you saw sheep who needed to be shepherded. Would you help us to see what you see when we look around? And Father, would you help this to be a room of people who individually, as well as collectively, are used by you in the lives of other people? And Lord, on behalf of all my friends here, we say to you, Lord, would you raise up workers for your harvest and for the field? And Father, we say to you, would you use us as workers? And would you help us be people who pick fruit and who shepherd sheep the way that you want us to? And Father, as we go into the rest of our days, would you help our hearts to stay soft? Would you help us to keep leaning into you? Would you help us to be actively giving courage to the people around us? Father, thank you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's been a pleasure to be with you today. Thanks for letting Nancy and me come. Yeah.